I'd like to take, we can take about 15 minutes for questions, comments, observations, either on the metta practice that we just have been doing, any of the practices, or really anything that has come up today in terms of skillful intention, working with the breath and the body. Yeah. Yeah, Tom. Oh, waiting for the...
How sharply focused on the heart center should I try to be? Because I actually am more aware of my chest and abdomen area in general than any point in the middle of the chest.
I would try to focus in somewhat specifically. You don't want to be too broad, I don't think. So obviously it's not going to be one-pointed. You know, and again, you have to play with it, you know, because what's in the service of helping you connect? It's a good idea if you sort of have a center of where it is, but then the awareness might be somewhere around there. I don't think you want to get it too far out because then you start getting into other stuff, emotions and things like that. The other thing is that it's one thing to do it when we're sitting here right now, you know, but when you get out there on the street, you know, you need to sort of be able to go to it when you need to go to it, you know, and have a real sense that it's there. So the more, you know, and this is a little bit where, you know, kind of like what I was saying to Nat, concentration, you know, it's like you're going there and you're practicing with it. And this is why we do metta, so that, you know, you're establishing that awareness of that area so that you can go to it. Now, again, remember what I said. The idea is that, you know, when concentration is strong, awareness converges right here at, in the citta. So, you know, that convergence is fairly specific, but, you know, generally we don't have that kind of concentration. So I think, you know, there is, it's a fairly specific area, but you don't want it to be like a, you know, you're not for, sort of like what Nat was saying, you're not forcing down on it. You're not like, we had talked about, you know, you're not pushing into it, you know, it's sort of, it's very gentle, right? You know, it's a, I mean, one of the metaphors the Buddha used to describe this kind of thing was like the hunter and the blind, you know, like waiting for the deer and you're hiding behind the trees, you know, and if you make too much noise, the deer is going to run away, but you have to pay really close attention. So it's very subtle, you know? Yeah, oh, right here, yeah.
I have a question. It's about the metta phrases.
Yes.
I've been doing this for some time, and I've been here and taken classes with Sharon Salisbury and all on the phrases. I've had to come up with my own phrases because some of the phrases that are used have blocked me in some ways because my phrases would be about ease and peace and equanimity, whereas I know a lot of people, and when I first started coming, there are questions of health. People come with loved ones that are ill or themselves. And so when you have a phrase like, may they be happy, or may they be healthy, may they be well, another aspect takes over. I know this is about connecting with my own sense, but somehow there's like that desire then for someone, a loved one who's ill. And I've learned for my own self that it's about my own feelings and my own connections with the love of myself and love of beings. I have a much easier time. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be well. Mm-hmm. But when there's a specific, and I just wanted to share that because I imagine a lot of people come with that when they're first told, given some of those phrases. Those phrases may block them in a way, like a desire way. Yes, I want them to be healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's well said. I mean, technically, if you were doing a heart practice for somebody who was ill or having a hard time, you would probably want to shift it into compassion. So it would be more like, and it can be subtle. Michelle says it can be very subtle, like, may you be free from suffering. You know, so that would be like more skillful if somebody was having a hard time. may you be free from suffering, as opposed to may you be happy. That's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, you know, so you wouldn't want to do it for them. So if, you know, if it is somebody that's ill, you probably, what's more skillful, or for yourself, you know, if you're really, like I always, in the morning, I always check, like if I'm really struggling, I'll do compassion practice instead, because it's like, may I be happy? Screw that, I'm not happy, you know? So it's like I do compassion practice. But I think that the larger story is that you have to find your own way into it, you know? And, you know, I mean, it sort of in the spirit of what I just said, the phrases should fit into a certain design. So the phrase should be an expression of the wish that you have to be happy, you know, and what happiness means. Happiness means, may I have ease of being, or for the other person. But then you have to find your own way into it. Now you have to find your own way into it. And that's when that's why I don't really like the phrases, because what really started to change for me when I sort of let go of the phrases and found my own words. And I don't even usually use phrases unless I'm really dull. It's more like, may I be happy? May you be well? May you be happy? You know, find your own words and find your own way into it.
That's kind of what I found out, but I really appreciated your teaching this morning. You really put the emphasis on finding that place in uh-huh. the citta. And I think that was kind of missed in some of my early learnings.
For me, that really made it just was a quantum difference. And, you know, the way other teachers teach it is a different style. You know, it's more of that traditional, well, it is a style, I guess, in the Burmese tradition. But I think bringing in the felt sense just makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
All the difference in the world. Because then I could really start to feel it. I could really start to feel it. I never was able to make that, jump that gap between the phrase and the heart, you know, but really bringing the attention in and really developing. Sometimes, you know, Michelle, you say, do wordless metta, but you really have to use a few words. But just, can you just feel it? Can you just feel them? Because that's what the Buddha taught. If you read the suttas, the Buddha said, feel the loving kindness in the heart, let it radiate out in all the directions. Feel the compassion. You never, you know, and then years after the Buddha died, they said, you know, that's really hard, what the Buddha said. You know, we got to find an easier way for people to do it. So then they came up with the phrases. The phrases are in the commentaries, right, I think. Yeah. But I think, you know, phrases can be useful, but I think that really finding your own way in through the fabrication that you use and really working with the felt sense is so important.
Thank you very much.
And particularly when you start getting into, you know, the phrases can be useful maybe for concentration practice, but not even so much. But, you know, once you start getting into discernment, you know, just what's your name again? What Bob was talking about, you know, what we were talking about, you know, you need to know what metta is. You need to know what that feels like. You need to know what anger feels like. And, you know, you need to know the differences, what suffering is like and what the end of suffering is like, you know? Good. It's like with a lot of things, you know, it's like you learn a structure, but then you need to find your own way into it. It's like, you know, if you're a jazz musician, you need to learn the scales, but then you need to learn to find your own way in. And that, you know, my teacher's teacher used to say that a lot. One of the most important things in learning to develop your practice is learning to improvise. You know, everybody kind of wants to follow, you know, but, you know, rote. But really you have to, you know, that's when things really start to become your own, when you improvise and find your own way in. Other questions or thoughts? Yeah.
So you just talked about, we've been talking about loving kindness, but you also differentiated loving compassion from loving kindness. Mm-hmm. So I have some idea of what the distinctions might be, but would you elaborate on it?
Well, I would go back to what I said this morning. You know, the baseline quality of the heart is loving kindness. To me, you know, it's sometimes compared to, you know, a radiation or a warmth. Compassion is like a prescription. So when there's suffering, the heart prescribes, or you can prescribe, compassion. But it's a different quality. Compassion is the quality in the heart of, you know, the wish that we have to be free from suffering, the wish that we have for others. So in order to cultivate compassion, there has to be a recognition of suffering. So, you know, we didn't do compassion practice on this day long, but if we did, what we would have done, usually you start with somebody else and you recognize their suffering. All right, this person is suffering, you know, they're depressed or they're struggling with something that's going on, an illness or whatever, and you recognize, okay, this person has suffering. I always say there's three parts. Okay, acknowledging the being suffering, and then just trying to, can you let that sort of resonate, just be with that, the truth of that, and then connect to your wish for that being that they be free from suffering. So it's a different quality of heart. And one of the, and what, so again, you know, I mean, I've thrown so much at you guys today as it is. And then for yourself, it's the same thing. May I be free from suffering. Sometimes I just, you know, when we do practice, it's just like, all right, may I have compassion for you, or I have compassion for myself. It's a little bit of a stronger feeling, so sometimes it's easier to connect to. The point is, as a Dharma student, you want to learn to differentiate the different felt senses, because they have a different felt sense. The metta feels different than compassion. Metta feels different. Compassion feels different from appreciative joy, which we'll practice with in a little bit. You know? So the idea is to learn the different felt senses.
And but both compassion and loving kindness, I mean, they're not about, they're all about the effect it has on us as practitioners, right? Not as opposed to some energy going out and making somebody else feel better or something like that.
Generally not, yeah. I would say you're right about that, you know. If you think about what loving kindness, I mean, we could have gotten into this. And I was going to kind of bring it up before, but again, trying to toe a little bit of a line here. But if you think about, because we were talking about love, going back to Diana's question, you know, if you think about what loving kindness is or metta is for another person, I mean, that's kind of a really good reflection, right? You know, you're connecting into your wish for them that they be happy. That's a lot different than, you know, like, I want to possess you type of a thing, or you belong to me, or we belong to each other. And really, you know, the definition of relationship, skillful relationship being informed by love and compassion, definition of relationship is you're there to support the other person in their efforts to fulfill their wish to be happy. You know? So you're aware that that being has a wish to be happy. It may not have anything to do with what you want that for them or what you want them to do, or, you know, that's really what loving kindness is. I support you in your wish to be happy. No, I don't support you in your wish to do unskillful things, but I support you in your wish to develop your heart. I mean, that's really hard for a lot of us, you know, because we sort of would prefer that people do what we want them to do, not what is an expression of their heart. So yeah, it's all about your relationship to that being, and it's not about sending out. You know, it's even like we'll end today with a little bit of joy practice. I've alluded to it already, you know, and it's not like when you're sitting in a group with other people, you know, you feel joy because there's an energy coming off of them. It's, you know, and that's why you're able to sit. It's that you feel it inside of yourself because of these beings are here supporting you in your efforts to be happy.
Thank you.
So one thing it is like you're really getting in touch. This being has a wish to be happy. And so one of the things I like to do when I do metta for others is remember that they have a wish to be happy. And I have a wish for them that they fulfill that wish. Because it's about your action, right? It's about what you do, you know? So you're exactly right, you know? Anybody else? Yeah.
I'm just very grateful to have just heard about improvisation because I'm a fairly new student and I have all kinds of sets of tools and I'm using them. But I had a question answered. I have several sets of people, friends, where there are people in the family in the process of dying. So I was trying to figure out what's appropriate, and certainly wishing great happiness I wasn't feeling it. However, the compassion.
Right.
And I can go into some of those phrases now and probably find some really useful ones. But I think being a new student, I get caught up in like semantics I was talking about before, and what's this and what's this tradition or whatever, but this improvisation or working with this and that is really useful for me.
Yeah, good. And I always like to think of it also as prescribing. Like you said, if there's people in your life who are ill or who are dying, the prescription, you know, for yourself in terms of cultivating your heart with regard to those beings is compassion, you know? So you want to, may you be free from suffering, you know? Which really means may you be free from the mental suffering.
You know? And throughout the day, we can't necessarily call up four sets of phrases all the time, you know? So this is good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. So anybody else? So let's do this. So we'll take like maybe 10, 15 minutes. I'll ring the bell in about 10 minutes. You can do some walking meditation if you want, just to work with the breath and intention, or do loving kindness if you want in the walking. You know, use the time well, whatever you want to use.